The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Those were tough times. The atmosphere was politically charged. There was division during that time of Isaiah. During the time Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and so it is today. The atmosphere is politically charged. As in Isaiah, as in Corinth, as in today, there is division. Paul chose to go to Corinth. Corinth had been destroyed in 146 before Christ because Corinth was in the way. The Romans wanted to keep going through Greece. Corinth was this strong Hellenistic outpost, a big metropolis. Rome destroyed it. 100 years later, in 44 BC before Christ, Rome rebuilt it and sent there freed slaves, extra peasants that were just too many people in town, and veterans of the army. All three groups were very strong people. So in Corinth, a very important trading center on the coast of Greece, where east and west passed through, where merchants were trying to make a living, where the Hellenistic tradition had taken hold again, people were into power, prestige, and how well can I speak? They were into wisdom, the Greek wisdom. Into this metropolis, into this bustling seaport, thriving community, Paul decides, I want to form a group here, followers of Jesus, because people are passing through. If they catch the light of Christ, if they are light, then people passing through will notice, will be attracted, will listen, maybe even follow. So he was willing to work hard, and for 18 months he did. If Paul was not a light himself or salt, they would not have listened. They would not have said yes. They would not have become a core community. But they became a core community. In this large metropolis, that core community was probably only about 40 people. But they were strong enough, they had the light, and they let it shine. But as it is, there's nothing new under the sun. Pretty soon, Paul gets a letter. He hears from a friend of his, there is division in the church. They are emotionally upset with one another. They're finding it hard to hold together. They are divided. So Paul writes back. And he writes back saying to them, maybe you don't remember, but I sure do. When I came to you not with lofty words or wisdom. I can't compare. I came to you knowing nothing but the power of Jesus Christ. And yet I came to you, because I'm human, in fear, in weakness, and in much trembling. They were strong, and yet Paul felt called to be with them. In these last few weeks, there is nothing new under the sun. We are in a season where we have an emotionally, politically charged environment. And we're all over the place on the spectrum. Some are in hope and excitement. Some are in fear and trembling. And God knows that. But how do each of us recognize that no matter what the season or the circumstance, as a Christian, through baptism, we are called to be the light? In fact, Jesus says, you are the light and you are salt. In our baptismal covenant, the question is asked, do you respect the dignity of every human being? Not some, every. So right from the start, we have a glimpse that being a Christian is a journey of transformation. It's a journey that begins and unfolds in a power greater than ourselves. Because if we relied on ourselves, we would only feel weakness, fear, and much trembling, like Paul spoke of when he went to the Corinthians. But Paul said, I'm going to rely on the crucified Jesus. The crucified Jesus triumphed over any darkness, any difficulty. Yes, he suffered, died, and rose to give us a power greater than ourselves. But in the midst of fear or trembling or weakness, how do we maintain being a light? How do each of you choose a spiritual practice that fosters an anchor? So when any emotional, politically charged turbulence, you are anchored in the peace and power and love of Jesus Christ. One of the practices I have and have had and use now more than ever, I breathe in the word peace and I exhale the word love. I breathe in peace, exhale love. I need to do it for at least 5 minutes. It's not just inhale, exhale, off I go. I need to anchor in a power greater than myself. One of the ways that we're challenged to be present is in the action of light. When I was growing up, my mother said, "It is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness." There is much going on in our world. Some are cursing, some are rejoicing, but all of us are called to be a light. Light can be as simple as a random act of kindness because you are engaging the energy of love. It can be as simple as recognizing when I was at Sprouts the other day and my cart was full and I was anxious to move on, but the person behind me had only one item. So I turned and said, "Go ahead of me." And this person said, "Really?" And I said, "Yes, you have only one item." We're not used to engaging with people we don't know, let alone offering a random, simple act of kindness. That makes a difference in the world, as well as what we say in conversation, in emails, posting on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our words matter. But we're all called to a love. And when we die, God is not going to focus on what religion are you, what nationality, what race, what gender, what sex, what political party are you? None of that matters. The only thing that matters is how we loved now. Later on in Corinthians, Paul says, "You know what? I could speak as eloquently as angels. I could be the most eloquent person, but if I don't have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." We can pass conversations. We can pass people and hear random parts of a conversation and assume. It is so easy to assume. It is really easy to assume. It is very hard to accept our differences. And that's part of what light is all about. That instead of listening for our turn to speak, we listen to understand where they are. There are door openers and there are door closers. A door closer is, "You shouldn't think that way. You shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't have voted that way." That's a door closer. A door opener is, "Tell me more. I want to hear what you have to say." May you find a spiritual practice that anchors you in such a way that you daily tap into the power of God deeper than any conflict, tension, fear, weakness, trembling. It's as simple as your breath. You pause in that moment of tension. You look around or hear or see. You feel your upsetness, and you choose to go into that place within you that the power of God is deeper still. And you breathe in peace and exhale love, or whatever is the spiritual practice that helps you become the light that you are called to be. So right now, the ushers are going to give you each a candle. Do not light it. Be the light.